Good morning, wonderful people. You can take your seat now. Before I go into the word, this thing that's been on my heart, I just want to release it, and then whoever it belongs to can take it, please. Yeah. Can we go to Lamentations 3:37, please? Lamentations 3:37. If you've got your Bibles, can you open to Lamentations 3:37? This is what he says. Now, I don't know who this word is for, but I pray and I hope it's for somebody. Years ago, we used to live with, a lady used to live with us, and God gave her a word to give it to us. And she didn't know how to give us the word. And you know what she said? She said, Godfrey, I didn't know how to tell you this word. I felt like God was pulling my ear for not doing it. So I just want to release this word. And so whoever it belongs to, they take it. It says, who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? All he's saying is this. All he's saying this morning is this. Unless God authorizes it, there's nothing anybody can do to stop you from achieving what God has for you. If God closes the door, nobody can open it. And if he opens it, nobody can close it. Who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? As you go through this week, I want you to believe and trust that unless God has said it, nothing anybody has said can work against you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to our scripture. This morning I'm going to share from the book of John. The book of John chapter 2, and I'm reading from verses 1. John chapter 2 from verse 1. It says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Present situation. Where you are right now, your present situation, it's not your permanent destination. It's not at all. God has so much in store for you. He has so much in store. Those who know the story of Job, you understand. Despite everything that he went through, the Bible says he did not charge God with wrongdoing. That sometimes we blame God when we are going through certain things. But that is attitude right there for you. You know, sometimes when things happen, just last week or the week past gone, you can ask Gifty. I've been in so much pain, this tooth. And the first week, I thought, you know what? I'll be macho about it and just pray and rebuke. After a week of rebuking and praying, it was still there. Then it was going. And so I booked an appointment to go and see a dentist on Thursday. I couldn't wait. And I had to book one, reschedule an emergency one, and go on the day before, which was Wednesday. He looked at the tooth, did whatever he had to do, and the pain was still there. And then the following day, I called Auntie Bim, pleading, look, Auntie Bim, I need your help. And so she said to me, come and see me the next day. So I went the next day, I went to see her. She also did an x-ray and prescribed some medicine for me. And now it's getting better, but I'm still on strong painkillers. You know, and I was saying, God, I've been praying, believing you for my healing. Why is this not happening? And what I was going through was not even half of what Job experienced. And already I was complaining. Can you imagine? Oh God, why? It was nowhere near what Job went through. To lose your family, to be sick, to lose your wealth, to lose everything you have, and still say, the Bible says, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Attitude. Attitude. You know, I've got this friend who came as a refugee from, I think, Iraq. And when he tells you his story, how he got to this country, how he was treated, what he went through, how he was put on death row and all that, and still he survived and made it to this country, it's remarkable. I was speaking to him the other day. I said, so listen, if you get hold of the people who treated you the way they treated you, what would you do to them? How would you react? He looks at me and says, Godfrey, you know what? I'll just forgive them. I will just forgive them. Because if I revenge, then what's the difference between me and them? They are doing to me the very things that I hate. So what's the difference? I looked at him and I said, wow, you're amazing. No? It's serious. I can't even. This guy was shot in the foot. And as he was lying down screaming, somebody walked over, took a stick, and put it in the bullet hole. He was screaming and begging. And later on, he was put in prison and put on death row. And all of that, he says, I forgive them. Now, you see the guy, he's flourishing. He's got two businesses. He's got a car washing business and a salon, and he's flourishing. It's all because that guy let. Okay, don't fall asleep on me, please. John chapter 2, verse 3. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples has also been invited to the wedding. Now, I was reading this, and I thought to myself, Pastor Zemi, assuming I told you there was a wedding here yesterday, what would you probably say? Whose wedding was it? Chances are that's what you ask me, whose wedding? John does not even tell us whose wedding it was, except he tells us who was in the wedding. Doesn't say whose wedding was, except, now these guys, when they did weddings, sometimes it lasted as long as 7 days, and yet the guy's name is not mentioned at all. Instead, he tells us who was in the wedding. He says, Jesus' mother. We know Jesus' mother as Mary. Doesn't even mention Mary's name. He goes, Jesus' mother. Then again, he says, Jesus and his disciples were invited. Everything is Jesus, 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 from verse 1 to verse 4. And it's not even his wedding. And yet his name is all over the place. Why? You see, sometimes it's not about you. Sometimes it's not about you. It's all about God. And so if you read a story in the Bible and they don't mention the person's name, it's not about you. And understand it's your wedding, it's your situation, it's your problem, but it's not about you. Many times, God wants to glorify himself through your situation. And so just because he's using your situation doesn't mean it's about you. It's not about you. You know the story of the woman who sat at the well with Jesus? It's the longest conversation ever recorded in the Bible with Jesus and anyone. And yet that woman's name wasn't even mentioned. And yet that's the longest conversation ever recorded in the Bible. Why? Because it wasn't about the woman. And then you see how the whole city got saved. Jesus will use your situation to reach out to others. That's what it is. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go on. Now it says this. It says, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited into the wedding. Now everything from verse 3 onwards is hinged on this verse 2. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited into the wedding. You know, the last time I preached, I was talking about learning to host the presence of God. Because it makes so much difference in every situation you find yourself if you learn to bring the presence of God into your situation. Now, Jesus was invited to the wedding. Listen, the people you allow into your life determine the blessing that you experience. It's as simple as that. The people, there are some people you... Genesis chapter 20, 30, please. Let me show you something. Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30. I hope I can find this verse. Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30, verse 27. Genesis 30, 27. Listen to this. It says, but Laban said to him, that's Jacob, if I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. It says, if I have found favor in your eyes, please stay because I have learned by divination. If you read the King James Version, it says, I've learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me because of you. In other words, it's because of your presence in my life that has made that difference. Don't get me wrong, Laban was blessed. But because of the presence of Jacob on his life, that blessing was doubled. Now look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. It says, he added, name your wages and I will pay. I will keep you at all cost because he knows the value of the person in his life. So he says, I will keep you at all cost. You need to learn, you need to know the people that God has put in your life and value them. I will keep you at all cost because it makes a difference where you are and where you will be. If you don't believe me, read the story of Jonah. Remember the story of Jonah. The Bible says, well, a group of sailors were going to Tarshish, and he decided to join them. What happened? Suddenly, the boat started tossing and capsizing because he was the wrong person on the boat. They went to they even lost some of their cargo. Why? Because you got the wrong person in your life. Just as the wrong person can bring good things in your life. So if you have the wrong people in your life, bad things can happen. You've got to be wise about who you invite in your life, who you open the doors of your heart to. You never know. You never know. You never ever know. Joseph, the Bible says, when he went into Potiphar's house, that guy became blessed. Blessed, 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 blessed. Just because of who he allowed into his life. Sometimes you don't understand when things are not going well in your life. You don't know what is going on. You've tried everything. Perhaps somebody, something in your life that is standing in the way of the blessing that God has for you. You just have to pray about everything. It's as simple as that. It says, call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things. And so it's so important. And that they thank Jesus that Jesus made it to the wedding. And he turned an ordinary situation into something extraordinary. But there's something above all of it, there's something I like about Mary, her attitude. When Jesus said, woman, why do you get me involved? My hour has not yet come. As a mother, she could have said, how dare you speak to me like that? How dare you speak to me like that? After conceiving you for 9 months, is that how you talk to me? But you know, she didn't even react. What did she do? She just told the servant, do what? Do what he says. And she walked away. Check her attitude out. You can't try this with my mother. Give you one time, honestly. And she just walked away. Walked away. There's nothing in the scripture we read that suggests that, you know, she was afraid of the situation or she was worried about the situation. Nothing. She just walked peacefully away. Peacefully. And that told me something. That peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God in your situation. That is peace. Safety is not the absence of danger, but the presence of God in your situation. David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he is with me. That's the only reason why he's not afraid. Because of the presence of God in the situation. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now listen, shadows in itself can't harm you. You know, the shadow of a lion can harm you. The shadow of a bear can harm you. Because those were the things that David fought. But the fact that there's a shadow tells me that there's the real thing. Now that's the thing. And normally shadows are not cast unless there's a light. And so the light, the presence of the light is stopping all those things from attacking you. That's why it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he's with me. Peace. And not only that, nowhere in the scripture again do you read that Mary came back to check on the servant to make sure, oh, is it done? Is the wine there? No. She went away patiently. In fact, her name is not mentioned again. But she was patient about it. Listen, patience is not just the ability to wait. It's how you act whilst you're waiting. That's important. Most people say, I'm patient. No. I remember there was this day I was on the bus. You know, sometimes they stop for a minute or two just to regulate the service. The driver stopped just for 1 minute. Just 1 minute. There's this guy on the bus. Annoyed. He goes, this is 1 minute of my life I'll never get back. And he was so angry. And I'm thinking, 1 minute of your life you'll never get back. You don't even know what God was delivering you from by that 1 minute. Or some people say they are patient. Then you suddenly see them tapping their foot and then swearing under their breath. That's no patience. Patience is no wait. It's how you act whilst you're waiting. That is patience. Abraham. God said, look, I've given you a promise. Wait. He wasn't patient. What happened? Ended up having a child with Hagar. He wasn't patient. And it caused a whole lot of problem because Hagar ended up losing her home. Sarah ended up losing her maid. Abraham ended up losing her peace. A whole lot of things happened just because they didn't have patience. And just because he listened to the voice of Sarah. I'm telling you, patience. But that's one thing that I see, two qualities that I see Mary having that tells me that if you can live like Mary, then it's the beginning of your best days. Your attitude. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me go back to my scripture. John chapter 2. Let's jump to verse 11. John chapter 2, verse 11. It says, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Because you are in the wedding thinking, I'm running out of wine. Things are not going the way you expect. Things are not going right in your life. But for all you know, God is using that to reveal his glory. That's why I said it's not about you. It's not about you at all. God is working through the situation to bring glory to his name. And you benefit as a result as well. But listen to this. He says this. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs. Now, it's interesting. John doesn't call this a miracle. He calls this a sign. What does a sign do? A sign directs you to something or somebody. The disciples, it's not that they didn't believe in Jesus. They did. But I think their belief in him went on the next level after seeing this. And so when you read this story, John is not trying to just give you some information. No, this is something that he wants to bring transformation. Why? Because when the disciples realized what Jesus had done, it became a revelation. And there can be no transformation unless there's revelation. And so it's my prayer that as God, as you are reading this story, God will open your eyes to see things that you haven't seen before. May he open your eyes to see things that you haven't seen before. Because he's about to do something in your life. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. You know, I wonder how many people actually realized that Jesus was at the wedding. And if they did, how many people were aware of his presence? Because sometimes somebody can be in the room, but you may not be aware of his presence. And your awareness of the presence of God in your situation makes a huge difference. That's one thing that Mary had. She could have gone, like, there were so many things she could have done, but she decided to go to Jesus because of the awareness or her awareness of the presence of God in the room at that time. I never go anywhere without asking the presence of God. I never go anywhere without inviting him. I know he's there. I know he's there. But I do that just for me to be conscious of the fact that he's there. Just to make myself aware. Hallelujah. I want to invite you guys to stand up right now. Because this thing is not just, I always say that anytime when God brings a word, it's not because he wants to bring a word for the sake of bringing it. It's because he wants to do something. But sometimes he has to prepare your mind and your heart for what is coming. Your attitude is so important. When God went into the garden after Adam sinned, he said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of the woman, I'm cursing the ground. He didn't say because the woman spoke. He said because you listened. We need to get to a place where no matter the situation, our emotions do not overpower our intelligence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I lift every single person here into your hands, Lord. I pray for your strength for them, O God. Lord, you did not bring them this far in the year to leave them like that, God, never. Their latter days will be greater than their former in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for any attitude adjustment that will get them there, Lord. I pray, Father, that you give them the strength, the wisdom, Lord, to lay hold of what you have for them. Lord, the devil can never stop you from blessing them, but he can stop them from receiving it. And today, Father, I shift that obstacle out of the way in the name of Jesus. Father, if their name is written on it, give it to them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.